Item on the agenda is item number 10, Gretchen Hinton, 08-2260. Mr. Madden.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Morning.
Gretchen Hinton requests authorization to deploy a total of 100 3-foot by 5-foot commercial oyster floats adjacent to her property situated along Judith Sound in Northumberland County. The project is protested by both of the adjacent property owners. Here's an overview of Northumberland County. This is down here, Kilmarnock. The county seat's located about here. There's Judith Sound. It's in the north end of the county. It's a little bungalow community. Here's a nav chart. It's pretty shallow along here. Travis Point. This is the mouth of the Cone River here. And the bay proper and the Judith Sound. 2009 aerial shows this small bungalow community. It's a very low-lying area right here. Let's get in a little bit closer. I've actually, the pointer's right about that. This is Ms. Hinton's property right here. This is about 7 miles north of the county seat of Heathsville. And as I mentioned a moment ago, this project is being undertaken by the applicant is Gretchen Hinton. However, her grandson, Mr. Pat O'Keefe, is actually the one who's going to be doing the work. He's here today. And what he wants to do is he wants to put 100 oyster floats in this approximate location right here. The floats will be 3 feet wide, 5 feet long, and are 18 inches high. Each of the floats will have smaller oyster seed bags inside of them, and they'll be connected on a long line. The individuals who are in protest of the project, Mr. Whitaker is the immediate neighbor downstream, and the neighbor upstream is Gaskill. They're on the other side. Their concern about the project is mainly negative impacts to their view of Judith Sound and that this commercial venture may potentially reduce their property values. And let's take a closer look at the project. The project is going to the array of cages, which will extend from the end of the pier. It will extend back 63 feet back. It'll also be 72 feet wide in this location down here. The array, or field, if you will, the field will be 18 feet from the south property line. That's this distance here. And it'll be approximately 15 feet to the other property line. Ms. Hinton has 90 feet of shoreline. The entire array will consist of the 100 cages, will only be 4,536 square feet. Let's take a closer look at the profile. I want to point out here that not each individual cage will be mounted, but they'll be on a long line. So this will stretch all the way down. This anchor screw will go into the substrate, go up into the array, extend all the way down, hook them all together, and they'll be pinned in the near shore area. There, you'll see in a few moments, there's a black flotation cell, and there's yellow cages. These are galvanized wire cages. And here they are. They're one's on top of the other, but this is pretty much how they'll stay in the water. There's the cage itself. And the flotation. There's a flotation cell here and a flotation cell here. There's a second unit on top. Here's the location of the operation here. We're looking down at the Whitaker Pier. I'd like to point out at this time that because this was one of the first operations of its type in this particular area, we contacted the Northumberland County Zoning Administrator, W.H. Shirley, and he indicated that this particular piece of property is zoned R2. And R2 will allow for seafood processing. But the seafood processing will have a caveat that he can't advertise at the site. So he can do the work. He can't advertise any signage of any kind. Also, one of the issues that I was concerned of, as well as staff, was the utilization of Ms. Hinton's pier. We made it very clear from the beginning of our review of the project that this pier will remain a private, non-commercial pier. So, one thing he's not going to be able to do, and he's agreed to it, he's not going to be able to conduct any commercial activity on that pier. We're not going to allow him. Staff is going to recommend in a moment that we not allow Mr. O'Keefe to put the cages on the pier, stack the cages on the pier, clean the cages on the pier. We're hoping that this will address some of the aesthetic issues that were raised by the neighbors. So the neighbors won't see a pile of yellow cages on the pier that would obstruct their view. Mr. O'Keefe has repeatedly assured me that he can conduct all of his operations from the shoreline. A review of the Health Department's website indicates that this area is open for the direct marketing of shellfish. When VIMS was asked to comment on the project, VIMS pointed out that shellfish are an important component of the Chesapeake Bay ecosystem. They help increase water quality, by filtration. They contribute to aquatic food chains, and the beds, and reef serves as habitat for aquatic species. However, there are some drawbacks to this particular activity, and they were pointed out in the report. It's temporary suspension of the sediment resulting from the aquaculture practices. They also indicate that there'll be a loss of aquatic bottom for uses for other resources. And also that the installation but will only be a temporary, impact, but the direct impacts will be that there'll be a loss of the aquatic area for recreational purposes. BIMS also pointed out that use of aquatic BMPs, aquaculture BMPs, could address some of the issues surrounding this type of operation. And these voluntary measures include clearly marking the grow-out sites, which will be done. The buoys will be deployed at the end of the long lines to mark off the area. Also, adhering to local marking requirements, and also that the site impacts will be reduced, the scenic vistas, and by keeping the cages off the pier. In terms of a summary, let me just go on a couple more pictures. This is the site looking straight out from Ms. Hinton's bungalow. There's the pier right there. So the area is in this area right in here, and I believe that's the end of it. Let me go back and give you that last site again. In terms of a summary and recommendation, staff is sensitive to the aesthetic issues raised by the adjacent property owners. However, this type of activity is not out of character for many regions throughout Tidewater Virginia and appears consistent with local zoning. Commission staff has no way to assess the impacts, if any, this operation will have on current or future property values. It does not appear that the activity would impede ingress and egress to the adjoining piers, in that it's not going to extend beyond the pier or into the riparian areas of the adjacent property owners. The floats and associated marker buoys only rise a few inches above the surface. The applicant has agreed to limit his use of the pier to boating boat mooring and will not conduct any commercial activity on the pier, as I've mentioned before. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all the factors contained in Section 28.21205, subsection A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project with the following conditions. As I've repeated more than once, the pier will not be used to store oyster cages or will be used to clean, maintain, or deploy the oyster cages. The permittee agrees to remit a one-time royalty in the amount of $2,268 for the encroachment over 4,536 square feet of state-owned submerged lands at a rate of 50 cents per square foot of encroachment. Next bullet. The permit and authorization to retain the structure shall be valid for a period of 5 years. After 5 years, the permittee may request the commission reevaluate the project and seek additional authorization to continue the activity for an additional period of time. The public shall not be excluded from any areas not physically occupied by the authorized structures, the lanes, if you will. The permittee shall properly maintain all structures and remove all structures within 5 days upon their falling into a state of disrepair or upon cessation of their use as an aquaculture structure. The structures must be marked and located in accordance with all applicable U.S. Coast Guard requirements. Should unforeseen conflicts arise, the Commission may elect to hold an additional public hearing at which time they may elect to revoke the permit and direct removal of any or all of the authorized floats. Having said that, Mr. O'Keefe is present. I'm not aware that the protestants are here, but of course I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
Can you tell me what the last item, the last bullet actually means?
Should there be unforeseen conflicts with other users or with if the public at large there is a conflict that arises that we don't foresee in this particular aquaculture activity, this is giving us an opportunity to bail on it.
Mr. Watkinson, you want to address that for me?
Aquaculture type facilities, in many instances, are new. We at this time don't foresee any adverse effects of the project, but it's not to say that something might occur that we had envisioned, and as a result, it would mean that we would have to bring the matter back to the commission to revoke the permit during this 5-year period. And it's just a recognition that there are potential conflicts that could arise from this that we don't foresee.
No.
And we have. When I add that these is a list of conditions that we've been putting in this type of permit for these types of authorized agriculture activities at the staff level. Not all of these have come before the commission because they're not protested and staff finds that they're acceptable and they don't even get over the $50,000.
Okay. Mr. Fox and Mr. Robbins.
Two questions. Since you're standing up, I'll
turn to move over to the podium if you would, make sure you get on the record.
I'll continue with discussion of the last point. It seems to me that if a business person makes a capital investment in this case 100 oyster floats, that person has to make a business judgment based on some period of time over which they hope to earn a return. And if you leave the last bullet point in, it seems to me that there's no certainty of how long you can practice this practice. And that gives me some difficulty.
I understand. Our feeling was that given the nature of these projects, there could be issues. However, before it would be revoked, obviously the applicant would have the opportunity to address any issues that might have come up and certainly would be able to present their case to the commission if there was a concern that it needed to be the permit revoked. So It wouldn't be done at the staff level directly, but there would be an opportunity for the applicant to address the problems, and if they couldn't be addressed, we would bring it back to the commission for a hearing to consider revoking the permit. So they would have a chance to argue their case, but we just felt that these types of projects could potentially present unforeseen issues, and we needed to be able to address those.
But we get another shot at it at 5 years.
At 5 years, that's correct. Anyway. That's correct, we do. Right. It's not in perpetuity. Like most permits we issue authorize a construction during a 3-year period, but the project is allowed to stay basically in perpetuity as long as they maintain it and it doesn't fall into a state of disrepair. These are different. They would not stay in perpetuity if the person did not conduct the activity anymore, and we wanted to make sure that those types of provisions were included in the special conditions in the permits.
All right, and the next question,
Mr. Fox.
What is the fetch there, and what is the direction of that?
It's along the Potomac River. The fetch is off to the north, and I'm going to guess 10 miles or more.
At least 10 miles.
All right, is there a concern that in a northeaster that these cages will be piled up on the ground and banging into people's piers and so on? Because that it could be very rough there.
Maintaining a commercial operation of this kind does have those issues. Perhaps Mr. O'Keefe can address those issues, and he is prepared to do so. And he has deployed a few on his grandmother's pier, and he can certainly address those.
Mr. Robin, thank you. Ms. Schick, Fox, any further?
No.
Getting bad as my grandmother. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions. Tony, if I can, from a precedent standpoint and from a policy standpoint, has the commission or has the commission staff approved any projects of this scale in the middle of a residential neighborhood? I think we had one before that was, as I recall, in a more rural setting, and I'm curious to know, just from a precedent standpoint, if we've done that. My second question relates to the zoning question. If this is zoned R2 and that covers seafood processing, are we interpreting seafood processing to also cover overboard aquaculture, or are we relying on the county's interpretation of that zoning ordinance?
Second item first. I mean, we were just relying on the county to interpret, obviously, their zoning. What we wanted to know was a commercial activity conducted in association with this piece of property, the aquaculture, consistent with local zoning restrictions or local zoning use? And they have been indicating that this type of activity is. So we were just turning to them for that information. With regard to the first question, I don't know that we've seen a project of this type in a community where you had lots of this size. I think I recall a case in Gloucester where we had an aquaculture operation at near a pier with residential properties nearby, but it was a much more rural type situation. We have, I think, issued a number of permits on the Eastern Shore for cage aquaculture, but they're in more remote locations, say on the seaside or even on the bayside, where they're not near other residential homes. So yes, they have been in more remote type settings and typically.
Further questions? Thank you. Some comments when appropriate time. Is the applicant here represented? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
Yes.
You state your name, please.
Pat O'Keefe. With everything they've gone over, the only thing I would like is, instead of paying the one-time fee in case I get bailed on in 5 years, is if I could just do an annual tax on it.
I think that's, Tony, I know that we don't like that arrangement. What's the
small amount? We usually like to go with one time, but if we do annual, it's 10% of that annual amount, so we could adjust it rather than figures.
Yeah, maybe the first.
Line, and that would be paid annually on the anniversary of the permit. So as long as the operation is ongoing, they would have to pay that amount each year on the anniversary of the permit.
Okay. If we determine that's acceptable, then.
One fifth.
And with the possibility of down the road maybe doing the one-time fee, of which I'll have set now also, as long as there's no problems down the road.
Unless the royalty schedule changes during that period of time, okay, which is a possibility.
Yes, sir.
Correct. Questions?
I do want to add that if this project were to continue beyond the five, that that annual amount would be collected is in perpetuity for the life of the project. So at some point, you know, it might even exceed a one-time amount.
Right.
But that would still be required each year as long as it's paid on an annual basis.
Questions pertaining to, I think, Mr. Fox, you had some questions pertaining to stability.
I bet the fetch is very, very long, and you can get us right bad storm now. How are you going to keep these cages from going away?
The majority of the storms we get come from the neighbor's pier towards my grandmother's property. Ernesto came dead in, but Isabel, the nor'easters and all, they come from the bay from Maryland over. Everybody, the neighbors on both sides and down a little bit farther, all have seawalls. I've been doing this as a gardener for about 3 years, and the cage system, the picture that he showed with the two of them in the back of my truck, is the best system I can find as of now. So once I have them tied down, that they're not going to go anywhere. It's a heavy-duty or gauge wire that I've been able to find. It's coated in plastic so it won't rust. And each end where I tie off to is, they doubled it up. On the corners, it's reinforced. So as long as the line that I used to tie off doesn't break or up here doesn't come through and cut the line or anything, it should be fine.
But Ernesto would have...
Well, it would have been right back on our property.
Questions? I have one. Is there any other area in this or anywhere near this that would have been acceptable or would be acceptable that's not in such a congested residential area that you've considered?
There, I've thought about another place in the sound of maybe doing a bottom lease. The neighbors on the side, the Gaskells, they rarely come down. They're going to fix up their property. The Whitakers, they come down a few times a year, but not that often. And to honestly see it, if you're on a porch at the Whitakers or on the yard, to get the view of the whole thing, you'd actually have to be on the waterfront.
Yeah, we're not really concerned as much about the view shed. Quite honestly, Mr. Robbins started down the path of the question that I had for staff. I just, you know, when you read the law that we're guided by, in addition to other factors, the Commission shall also consider the public and private benefits of the proposed project and shall exercise its authority under this section consistent with the public trust doctrine. It's just something in my mind and in my stomach that gives me a difficult time saying, yeah, go ahead. It's certainly not the norm of what we permit as far as aquaculture is concerned, from what I've seen and what I've observed being on the creeks of the Eastern Shore and up in the Northern Neck. Normally, those cage structures, either they're on the bottom or floating, are basically situated in some open water that's far enough away that it doesn't impact the use of navigation into the shoreline and things like that. And I understand that it's your mom's property that's upland. Is that, am I correct, or is it?
It's my grandmother's property there, and another grandparent has property three lots up.
Okay, well, I just because that property is owned by a relative as far as the shoreline is concerned, still those waters out there are waters owned by the citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia to be held pursuant to the public trust doctrine. So I guess maybe I'm making more out of it than I should, but something gives me a negative vibe about it. Because it's out of the norm and sometimes change is hard to accept. So I'm not saying that I'm overly prejudiced by it. I'd like things to go smoother, and I think this has a potential not to go smooth. But having said that, we'll see how it goes. Is anyone else, anything else? That you, yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Tankard.
Along those lines, I'm with you. Being from the Eastern Shore, I've never seen anything quite like this. We're certainly familiar with aquaculture, but is there anyone else that you have, that you know of, that will have a setup or has a setup like this?
In this area, no.
Yeah, so this is sort of unprecedented, you would say.
Yes, sir.
And now one more
Mr.
follow-up
Packard,
question, if
please.
I could. The application is Gretchen Hinton. Now, you have some formal relationship with Ms. Hinton, so if there's a falling out between the two of you.
Yes, sir. My understanding is I'm the applicant, but it goes under her name because it's her property.
Okay. And so a follow-up question.
Mr.
You have some type of relationship or agreement that would allow you to continually have access to your cages?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And then one more follow-up question.
Mr. Tankard?
In the application, it says that you will not be storing cages or cleaning or maintaining the cages at the dock. How do you propose to do those three different things not at the dock?
From the shore, it's where the seawall is, down to the land. It's not but about a 2.5-3 foot drop. I can bring them up, put them on the land, put them in a wheelbarrow or whatever to carry them to the backside to power wash them or to carry them to another lot so they won't be seen on the waterfront when I'm storing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any further questions? Thank you, sir. Is anyone here else in support of this project? Is there anyone here in opposition to the project? There being none, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just to follow up on the question I asked earlier, from a precedent standpoint, I think you really kind of touched dead center on my concern that we're proposing to site what I would describe as a significant commercial operation in the middle of a residential neighborhood. I mean, that's sort of the first thing that impacts me about the case. This isn't an oyster gardening project on a small scale or pilot scale that somebody might do at their private residence. I mean, this is a scale that's somewhat significant. I think the previous cases we've seen were in somewhat more remote areas and were appropriately cited as such, where you just didn't have that potential for that much interaction or concern among neighboring property owners. I am impressed by that issue. I would have some concern about moving forward with the project because of that. This commission has been, I think, very consistent in its support of aquaculture and certainly recognizes the potential for Virginia as doing a lot to grow the aquaculture industry, and we pursued policies consistent with that objective. But I'm just concerned that from a spatial planning, from a marine spatial planning issue and perspective, that this may not be appropriately cited. I have concerns about that.
Thank you, Mr. Robbins. Mr. Fox, then Dr. McConaughey.
Based on my questions that I've voiced, I'm concerned about the fetch and what happens if these break loose. And I think that's exacerbated by the fact that it's in a residential area. If it were in a more remote area, that would be less of a concern, even with the long fetch that exists.
Dr. McConaughey?
Well, I'm concerned about the residential area as well, but is just this property zoned for commercial, or is it the whole area?
The whole area is can be R2, yeah.
Okay, and that's do you know if that's been a long-term zoning or was it recently changed?
I can't answer that.
I believe it's been like it since they built up there.
Okay. I mean, that to some extent that raises concern on my part that it is actually a commercial area as opposed to it's serving as a residential area, but it is commercial. that...
Not to prejudge, but knowing sometimes how rural zoning works, that there are times that in order to market property, while you maintain a restriction to a certain extent, you open the door just a little bit more to make it a little bit more palatable and appealing to those individuals that may be willing to purchase the property. That might be speculative on my part, but I have seen situations and times in keeping up with the local news in the small town where I live that it's not uncommon for things to go from A to R, you know, that allows density, and then sometimes from things to go, once they get established, from R2 to R1 based on the majority of the population living there to further protect their rights. So that's just a speculation, and I don't know. You'd have to go back and research the minutes of the zoning board and find out exactly when that occurred and what happened. So, further comments, questions? Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Tankard.
I definitely have concerns about this operation at this spot, but at the same time, the zoning of this county makes it so that this operation can exist. I have seen caged aquaculture, the processes and procedures, daily operation, and I don't think, given my experience, that this will work in the fashion that the applicant has depicted. However, I can't move against, and I will move for this applicant. I will move to take staff recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Dr. McConaughey. Further discussion? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With some regret, I'm going to vote against the motion. I'd be glad to vote in support of the project and in an alternative site where it more appropriately sited and located. I have concerns, I think, from a precedent standpoint about approving a project of this scale in the middle of a residential neighborhood. I think that raises some policy concerns relative to the public trust from where I sit.
Further comments? To echo what Mr. Robbins has said, that we have always supported aquaculture. As far as I'm concerned, I will continue to support aquaculture in the appropriate location. But I'm going to have to vote against the project based on 28.2.12.05, where I believe that the in consideration of the public and private benefits of this proposed project, that the benefits are not tilted in a manner that's consistent with the code. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
No. All in favor of the project, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. All opposed? 1, 2, 3. Motion carries 4-3. Thank you very much.